once you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, then you've been assigned to a mission to carry out the Great Commission, which has to do with all of us working together for one common cause to make Christ known, not just in our geographical location, but throughout all the world. And we talk about the Word of God becoming widespread when we see the challenges that the world is facing, the tragedies that's all around us. It does require those that take the Great Commission seriously and understand that salvation is not selfish. It's not for selfish ambition. But when the love of Christ is in our hearts, then we come to that place, as the sign says, it's about others. It's about others. We begin to see the world through the lenses of Christ. And what we have some members here at Cross Culture Church who've been with us for a long period of time, and one member in particular has a very powerful testimony. And with that, we begin to see how he began to take the messages that he had heard, as we heard from Brother Mitchell a while ago. He took the word to heart and began to act upon what God had placed in his heart. And we talk about gifts and talents that you didn't even know you had when you began. When the word is activated by the Spirit, then those gifts are ignited. And you are surprising yourself and others by doing things that will amaze you and will make an impact upon the whole generation. And such a person is Ray Jackson. Brother Ray Jackson, who God has used mightily and powerfully in ministering and making a difference. And I'm not going to tell his story, but we were at the graduation dinner last night and yesterday evening. And after being there and hearing the story, I said, look, it's time not just to hear a message. You need to see the message. You need to know that the message of Jesus Christ is alive and that is impactful and is inclusive of all of us, that God has called you to greatness. He's called you to do great exploits. So right now we want to welcome to the platform. In fact, there's going to be a different kind of service. We want you to hear what God is doing and what God is saying and hear from the mouths of those that have been impacted and the kind of impact that continues on. It's amazing how the seed planted germinates. The seed, what is the seed? The Word of God. When that Word has been planted, then that Word germinates. And then we begin to see that it produces, one seed can produce a whole field. And that field can produce more. It can go acres and acres. And it can transform even the whole culture. So, Ray, would you come and let's receive him as he comes. And he's going to share with us today. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, yesterday we had a great time at the graduation fellowship. The New Seasons bore through for Julius and Michael, who both graduated this past May. And we were just sharing, and Pastor, after we finished, he shocked me. He said, tomorrow you'll be given the message, but give it in your way. And so I'm saying, oh, I got to go home and prepare something. Elder Friend said, you ain't got to prepare, just talk. I said, okay. I wanted to say no. But one of the things that I am realizing that this program is not about me, is greater than me. And I'm always thinking about those young people who have not made it here yet. I always tell the young people, y'all are here. We got you. We're going to support you. But now my focus is on those who have not made it here yet. So, Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity. Elder Fran, Cross Culture, I love you. Y'all have been my family since I have been here since 2000. Actually, I joined the second Sunday in 2009. So I've been here 19 years, going on 20. So I'm waiting for this anniversary. So when they say who's been here 20 years, I can stand up. I'm waiting. So please make sure y'all do that. Because I want to stand. But let me say, I've been a part of this church. I came from Little Rock, Arkansas. And at that time, I said, Lord, I want to find a church quickly. I don't want to be out there blowing in the wind because I'm a Jackson. I know what's in me. So I said, I want to make sure, I find a place. And so I was praying before I came, but my sister had been to this church before. She never united with the church, but she would come and she would visit. And Sister Shirley Carter invited her and one of her friends. So what I want us to see as I'm talking is how the message, how it can impact our lives and change our lives. And if we have to have a title, let's call this Love in Action or Work in Action, okay? If you just got to have a title, okay? But Sister Carter, in her obedience, invited them. So my sister told me about this church when I was in Little Rock, not thinking about moving here. Because at that time, I was working with inner city kids, and a lot of the young men that we work with were in gangs. So I did that for 5 years. Every day I was doing it, and this was after my 9-to-5. So I had always been a part of working in the community, a part of working with young people. And the church I went to at the time, our pastor was like Pastor Walker. He always talked about others. So that resonated when I walked in the door and I saw this sign and he kept talking about others. So I had already been doing the work, working with young people, but it was on a local level, okay? So when I came to this church, my sister told me about it and she said, you would love it because first of all, you like praise and worship. You like to sing. You're going to love that church. They can sing. So that caught my attention. But she said, but more importantly, he teaches like Pastor Kraft. And I said, okay. Not too many people teach like Pastor Kraft, you know. That's a strong word if he's teaching like Pastor Kraft, you know. So when I came, I was sitting at her house, and I would watch Pastor Walk on TV, and I was like, I like this man. He teaches like Pastor Kraft. So my sister, at the time I was staying with them, she walked down the hall, and I said, is this the church? So she walked away. She said, I don't think it is. But they had panned over to the side. And then they panned back, and she came back through. She said, yeah, that's him. I called, and I know it was you, Valor January, to answer their phone. I believe it was her. She gave me directions, and I came. And I've been here ever since. And so that's just to show you how God used Sister Carter to begin to plant the seed for me to come. Okay, so here I am now, sitting under this ministry for close to 12 years. God began to deal with me. When we come to this church, we hear the message, bridging the gap. We hear the vision, bridging the gap, changing mindsets, transforming culture to the standard of Christ. Then he says, others. Bridging the gap, changing mindsets, transforming culture to the standard of Christ. Others. One more time. Bridging the gap, changing mindsets, and transforming culture to the standard of Christ. Others. 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 You saved others. 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 You a believer. Others. 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 He cares for you, but he cares for others. 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 It's not just about you. That's the message of this house in a nutshell. Yes, Jesus is Lord. We are saved. But we are to be about others. So when I would hear that over and over and over, and it would challenge me, then I would come and we got this missions director talking about a persecuted churches conference. Don't nobody go to no persecuted churches conference, I said. But I'm going to go. See what they're talking about. It kept coming and kept coming. This thing I know, I was on my third or fourth year going to these persecuted church conferences. So again, a nugget was being dropped that it's about others, others, others. And that's what I kept hearing. So as time went on, I sat listened to the Word of God. I had never been exposed to African Americans who had or who would go on the missions field. The only one I knew was Maxine, Reverend Maxine Allen, a woman back home. She's an elder in the United Methodist Church. And I was just like mesmerized with the work that she would do. But when I came here, I actually saw African Americans going into the missions field. They would go to Jamaica, Nigeria, they would just go all over Africa, the Philippines. And when I heard the story about how it was prophesied that black-faced people from the West would come to bring the good news to the Philippines, that floored me. That did something to me. And I kept saying, God, what kind of church is this? What kind of people are these who would, you know, just take this literally and go? Then I said to myself, God, I can't do that. I can't go on a missions field. I don't think I'm called, you know, to go and do that. But the Lord said, okay, that's fine. That's fine. I got something for you. So he began to, you know, I began to pray and ask God, where do I fit in this ministry besides singing in a choir? Okay, where do I fit in? I was like, you know, what do I do? Where do I go? I was like, I just don't see a place, you know, other than the choir, you know. And the Lord said, well, because I got something in store for you. So he began, I met Dee Dee. We started the courtship. I kept her holy. Okay, something I had never done before. But I kept her holy. You can sit down, David. But I kept her holy. She was a virgin. So during that time of the courtship and we got married, we were getting ready to get married, God began to drop new seasons into my spirit. So I was like, okay, God, I hear you. Okay, but I don't know how to do this. I'm not a rich man. I don't have a lot of money and I'm about to get married. So we got married. He began to develop this in me. Then Rael came. We found out we were pregnant with Rael. So even as God, Dee Dee was carrying our baby, God really began to impregnate me with New Seasons Youth Program. So we had some challenges with the pregnancy. They had told us many times that we were going to lose Rael. Actually, they told us a whole month that she would be dead in the womb the next week. And so Dee Dee and I kept saying, well, you know, we're going to believe God. And the doctor was like, okay. And so he kept, you know, next week we would go back. He would say, she'll be dead next week. And we were saying, we're going to believe God. We just kept saying that. Mama looking at us like, okay, they said they're going to believe God. I'm going to believe God with them. So to make a long story short, God was impregnating me, and he was giving me New Seasons Youth Program. So each night we would be up. Dee Dee would be, you know, having some issues. And, you know, I would finally get her to sleep. God would say, now get up, go to your computer and do New Seasons. So I would be up 1, 2, 3 in the morning putting together New Seasons Youth Program. Had never created a website before in my life. The website that you see today is what God gave me at that time. So I just kept adding to it and adding to it. So Rael came. And you know, Rael was only 13 ounces at the time when she was born and was in the hospital 7 months on oxygen, feeding tube. Y'all know the story. God was still, I would go to the hospital at 11 o'clock. It was from like 7 to 11. I would leave there, get home, be 12 o'clock at night. The Lord would say, go do New Seasons Youth Program. So all of this stuff is going on around me. God is giving me this program. So even in the midst of trials and tribulations, God was still saying, you can't stop. The work is more important than you, because again, it's about others, others, others. So I went to my wife after, you know, we got Rael home and God had set it up to where we finally, y'all remember Betty McConey came to help us raise money and things were beginning to move. The schools were saying, yes, we'll give you scholarships. And so I'm like, praise God, you know, I need money though. And so I have to, you know, go out and, you know, people were coming, giving. And I asked Dee Dee, I said, well, Dee Dee, you know, I'm the director of this program. I said, so baby, I'm gonna need you to support me, you know, and let me allow Fabian to come stay with me. She said, no. I said, well, you know, baby, I believe God called me, you know, to do this. She said, no. So I left it alone. The Lord said, go back. counselor. She said, no, you don't know Dee Dee, Lord. Like he didn't create her. So I went back and I said, Dee Dee, I said, God, I know God has called me to do this, and I believe we have to lead out. Now, I included her in this now, we. we have to lead out. I can't ask other people to open up their home if we're not willing to open a home. She said, no, I don't want to do it. And I said, Dee Dee, I said, if you see any God in me or the Holy Ghost, would you please consider it? She said, yes. I said, woo, because I thought I was going to have to call David. David, you're going to have to help me, man. You say you know the Lord. You're going to have to come over here and pray for your sister and help me do something. So to make a long story short, Fabian came into our home. And Niasha and Esther, they were first three students. Fabian from Lusaka, Zambia, and the two young ladies from Zimbabwe. They came into our homes and 3 months, I don't think. Dee Dee took sick with leukemia and battled 10 months, and she did pass away. But even in that, the Lord kept giving me a word, or kept giving me the program, New Seasons Youth Program. He kept saying it's about others. And I thank God for that, because had it not been for that experience and me going through all of that, when you're doing what I do, you get a lot of no's, you get a lot of rejections, but you just have to keep going. You can't give up. You got to stay focused, and you got to understand what your mission is. So God, he just began to open up doors, and more students are coming to the program. And like I said, y'all, this is not, I'm here just to share our heart. I'm not trying to give you a message. I'm going to give you, in the end, I am going to give you a charge that comes from the word. But right now, I just want you to see how God can use an individual who's gone through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, and we all go through that. That's to be expected. That's just life. But even in that, God still wants to use us. He is faithful. He is just to keep us and to just make sure that even when we don't have the means or the finances or the money, God will open a door for you to be able to do what you need to do in order for you to see to it that His work is completed on earth. Now, you may say, how is education? Oh, education. What does that have to do with salvation? Well, these kids are already saved, all right? So we go after kids that are already saved, and they have demonstrated and shown it in their lives. So we go after those type kids. So my thing was, we take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nation, but what do? Once we take the gospel of Jesus Christ, are we meeting needs? Or are we just coming to church, being fed over and over and over, hearing the same thing, but nothing, like Brother Mitchell said, nothing is being applied. Church, we wondering why individuals don't come to church, why it's empty, and we're not the only church experiencing this, because people are tired of just coming sitting. We need to move. But let me tell you something, in you, there is a vision. There is a seed that has been planted. Pastor has given us the word over and over and over. And a lot of times we think that, oh, I got to do something in the house. I got to do something in the church. Your ministry may not necessarily be in the church. Be a part of the church. Don't leave the church now. Hear me good. Don't leave the church. Stay. But what I'm saying, there's a ministry in you. If you would allow it to come forth, if you would just be willing to be obedient and say, Lord God, here is my life, take it. Use me for your glory. If you would be willing and not be afraid. I'm going to tell you now, you don't have enough strength to do it. You don't. I mean, you should be afraid, you know. If you're not afraid, something's wrong. But what I'm saying, you shouldn't be afraid. But what I'm saying, step out in faith. Trust God and know that He has your back. You have the word in you. You know the word. You don't have to, we just recycle the word. We know the word, but we will not move. We got to move, saints. There are so many different ways we can reach people, the lost, God's people, so many people we can reach if we would just be obedient. And there are different, it's no right way or wrong way to do it. It is a right way, but hear what I'm saying. There's no right way or wrong way to ministry. I'm saying if you believe God has called you to do it and you know what you're doing is in line with the word of God, do it. And guess what? Somebody gonna come alongside you and help you. In this instance, my instance, it was Sister Eleanor Butler. She's over in Tanzania now. She helped me. She started this, helping me with the program. And then Sandra Bates jumped on. Sister Stale Green, who's our board chair now, she stepped on. So, you know, we just began to, I just began to move, believe God, trust him, have faith that he would take this program to where it needed to be. And he did it. So I shared that because I want to give y'all a little background about the program, how God set up New Seasons Youth Program, because it was not in my strength. I couldn't have done it in my strength. And I just want to kind of lead up to now we have assisted 25 students from Africa and the Caribbean with coming to the USA. We've raised over, today, with the 25 we have, we've raised over $1.5 million. This year, I'm expecting that to go up to about close to $2 million in scholarships. So we are working to bring more students. It looks like these are the fellas and the young lady. We do have young women. If you notice, we had an increase in young women. It don't look like it. But the young women are actually doing research, even as we speak, on their various college campuses. I'm proud of them. If you educate an African woman, that's a powerful thing, you know. So we are moving to educate more women, bringing them into the program. So don't let this fool you all, this masculinity sitting over here. Ladies, we do have young women who are part of our program. And I want to say, you might ask, well, why do we need to educate, you know, young people? There are many factors in Africa that contribute to the low enrollment rate of Africans into tertiary education or college programs. Africans and those from the Caribbean, the governments are inundated with other issues such as lack of proper infrastructure, the high rate of illiteracy and unemployment, poor health care, and the growing number of orphans and displaced individuals due to war take precedent over these countries being able to educate their young people. And those who are educated usually come from the rich, or those who are rich, children of the rich. So individuals such as our students are not given the opportunity because they're just simply not scholarships, or if they are allowed to go to school, they have to go for what is offered to them or what the demand is. So many of them do not even get to go to college to study in a field that they really want to study in. When we look at America and individuals coming, we see that there are over 300,000 Chinese students who study in the USA. And I think India is number two with 100 and something, maybe 200,000. Then you're looking at the Republic of Taiwan and Saudi Arabia, all of these different countries, they have over 100,000 students, with China leading with 300,000. Nigeria is the highest ranking African country with 13,000 students from Africa. So we see that there's a problem there. There's an injustice there. There's a reason why, but I'm not going to go into all that because we're trying to break that barrier. We're going to do our part. We're just not going to talk about it. We're going to do our part. So the thing is, we got a lot of work to do. Africa and also the Caribbean, but these are lands where there are a lot of resources. And we see in these countries a lot of wars being taken place because of these resources. So whenever a conflict arises, let's talk about South Sudan, which is the newest country. Why is there a problem in South Sudan? Because they found oil and diamonds. So we have to follow what's going on. When we see that there's a war popping up, there's a reason why, because they're fighting over resources. Okay? So one of the things that Pastor Fred said, that a revival is breaking out. Revival is breaking out all over the world, especially in Africa. But the thing is, when revival breaks out, are we going to be prepared in the body of Christ to care for those individuals who come into the church? Because there are needs we have to meet. So my thing is, with New Seasons, your program, I'm believing God that these young people we bring in, when they see what we're doing as individuals in this church and see it lived out through it, somehow it would affect them to where they will want to go back and be a part of that change. They're, you know, preparing them for the change. You know, so that we will have Christian leaders in position. Michael has aspirations, he said, one day of becoming president. And I believe it because I know what God has said. So if that's what he wants to do, I'm praying. But in the meantime, I'm like, well, he wants to be president. Moochie just got into Harvard to get her PhD. I'm believing she's going to become the Secretary of Health. So do y'all see how I'm seeing this thing? And then here come Wamudila and Joe. They talking about business, and I'm like, okay, well, here go the business. What's the government? What is the position? The Secretary of Finance. All that. So I'm seeing a connection here. And then next door is Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, they just had not a civil war, but they just removed their president of 40 years, Robert Mugabe. Can you turn that video off for a minute, please? I don't want to talk about Zimbabwe. No, turn it off. Turn it off. I don't want to be on air. Okay, well, she says she can't do it. Okay, so in Zimbabwe, there are some issues, and I'm just going to say that you have different groups of individuals, tribes who fight amongst each other. And if you're part of one group of individuals, you're pretty much persecuted. So you don't have the opportunities to receive an education. But since or be entitled to some of the positions in government or whatever so that you can help yourself or help your people, okay? So I'm just gonna leave it there. But even with that, transition is taking place. We have students in our program from Zimbabwe. Okay, so I believe that these young people who are here will be a part of that change in their country. Godly individuals. It's no accident that God brought them here to us. At some point, I believe they will impact their nation, and they will be about building their nations. So what we do is bigger than just them coming here to get a college education. Our kids not only use the monies that they get when they come here, I used to tell them, don't be sending money home. Y'all need to stop doing that. Y'all have to focus on you. Your parents, they need to just let you get through, or whomever need to let you get through. But I'm realizing the monies that they send home helps them educate a niece or a nephew. So it's bigger. It's bigger than them just coming to get an education. And I'm going to use Michael. Michael bought land for his family so they can stop calling them. So that they can be able to be self-sustaining. Do y'all see how listening to the message here at this church and how it was implanted in me and now is blossoming out to something that I didn't even think that it would, you know, blossom out. And it's amazing me because I see different aspects of it every week. So God is doing a good thing, a great thing in the New Seasons Youth Program family. I'm moving quick, y'all, fast. I'm nervous a little bit. But I do want, if our New Seasons board members, those that are here, would you please stand? And I want them to see that we have even new people who have joined the board. And this is not all of them. These are the ones that are here. So we are excited that they are here with us today. You can have a seat. Thank you. And what I'm going to do now, did I lose anyone? Are y'all following me? Okay, all right. I'm gonna bring some of our students to the stage so you can hear their stories and how the program has impacted them. So I'm gonna ask that you bear with us. Again, like I said, this is a different type of message. It's called Love in Action, Work in Action, okay? So I'm going to call Joe Mvula up. Joe is going into his senior year at Lemoyne Owen College. He's Mr. Sophomore. And he is a man of God. And I want you to talk about also the award you just received.
Good morning. My name is John Vola, and I'm from Zambia. I'm actually going into my junior year at Lemoyne Owen College in Memphis. And this morning, I just wanted to, I don't want to preach, which I, you know, I feel like, but I'll keep it short. I just want to thank Pastor Walker and the Cross Culture Church for the opportunity to actually stand before you today. I feel like I'm backsliding because I'm supposed to be here with a Bible, actually. So, but starting with myself graduating high school back in Zambia, actually before I graduated high school, I went to school which was actually 4 to 5 miles away from home. And because of financial constraints and the things that we couldn't afford with my family, I had no choice but to walk to school. So I actually walked for 5 years that I was in school, from my eighth grade until I graduated high school. And then after I completed high school, you know, it was another thing where I had to start work, save up some money, and then take myself to college, which was a little bit challenging to some extent, because it was more of nobody could hire a high school graduate. So that was another problem. And then I began to teach at this community school where I tutored 11th grade, 10th graders to 12th graders in math. And this one student that I taught told me about the New Seasons Youth Program. And he was like, would you mind reaching out to New Seasons? I tried, but my results weren't as good. But I think you have the zeal, you know. You want to go to school, you talk about it. I think you can do it. And then I reached out to New Seasons Youth Program. And I wasn't even expecting the answer that I got. I received the message, say, well, this is what you're supposed to do. And I was like, wow, this is something. Actually, they got back to me, and I had to start working on finding the money, and you know, so that I can take the SAT or SET. And at that particular time, I was still struggling, although I was working at that institution. And then Brother Ray, I call him brother, although he's been more of a father, came through, and he helped me with the SAT fees, and then I had to take the SAT. Cut the long story short, I was on my way in 2016. I got a scholarship from Lemoyne Owen College, a full ride scholarship coming here. And this was actually through Brother Ray here, and he really helped me. I used to actually go to a church, which is more of 10,000 members, I should say, and I was obliged to serve in the youth ministry for over 3 years when I was there. So I served in the ministry. And this is one thing that I've always been amazed of coming here, that actually God does provide, and he puts you in a perfect place. When I was there, I was in the youth ministry. Our youth ministry was called Joshua Generations. And coming here, I came here, and now I stand here as a Joshua Generation again. And I'm like, wow, this is... So this is amazing. And for the past 2 years that I've been here, God has been faithful to me. And I've had some challenges, but the goodness of the Lord has been amazing and exceeding. I've had an opportunity to serve as Mr. Sophomore for 2017-2018 academic year. And then I've also recently, I was awarded by Memphis Beat the Odds Foundation. They actually heard my story and they were like, well, we are interested in your story. I think we want to recognize you for whatever for everything that you do. And I was recently, about 2 weeks ago, I was awarded Memphis Beat the Odds Award. And also, I was awarded... I was awarded the Delta Boule Scholarship right on campus. So that happened in one semester and everything. Memphis Beat the Odds actually came with it, with the recognition from the Memphis city of Memphis, for me taking part in different volunteering work that I do with Job Corps in Memphis, the Benjamin L. Hooks Job Corps Center. And I'm always there on Wednesdays, and I've been there since 2017, the beginning of 2017. So I got a recognition from the city of Memphis for the work that I've been doing in the city. So I'm very appreciative to Brother Ray here, to the board of New Seasons Youth Program, and I'm very appreciative of this church. This has been my home, and this has been a home to many of us who come here without relatives, without anybody, and yet we come by faith and find people who help us excel. So I just want to thank you for your support. I want to thank the New Seasons Program for everything that you do. Thank you so much.
So as you can see, when our students come, they not only are benefiting, but they are giving back to the communities here. One thing I like about Joe, he said, Brother Ray, those kids on the campus, they always coming to me for advice. I said, because God has given you the responsibility, because he's going to tell you what to say, and you're going to speak for him. I said, so just allow them to come to you and give them their godly advice. And one thing I like about these kids, they also help a lot of our kids graduate from college. They pull them through. They tutor them. They take time with them, and they actually pull them through to help them get their degrees as well. So they're doing a lot. Come on up, Julius. This is our graduate, 2018 graduate, Julius Chimble. I'm gonna let him tell you his good news, because I want to tell it, but I'm gonna let him tell it.
Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm excited to be here, but you can't see that because I'm very nervous. So, yeah. So I'm here to share my story, and I'll try to keep this short as possible. I'm Julius Chimble. I'm from the Republic of Zambia as well, and here's my story. So I grew up in rural Zambia, the part known as Choma. And unfortunately, my dad passed on when I was about 6 years old. So my father was a breadwinner of the family. And back in the day, my father told my mother, you don't have to work. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of everything. Just take care of the kids. And my mom was like, okay. So My mother had stopped working. She hadn't worked in a long time. And when my father passed, it hit us by surprise. And, you know, my mother struggled to take care of us. And unfortunately, we had some family problems. And my father's family wanted to take my dad's property. And my mom fought against that in court, saying, we need this stuff for our kids and stuff like that. So it was pretty rough growing up in Zambia. And my mother did her very best to take care of us. She couldn't go back to work because she told me that her official documentation for going to school was lost during the whole property sharing issue. So my mother struggled to take me to school. And but she was like, no, it doesn't matter. I'll take you to school. So I went to this school in which we paid, should have been $2 a semester. And it was not that much of a good school, but, you know, I went to it, did my best, and I learned as much as I could. So after that, I got through primary school, which is called elementary school here, I believe. And then by the grace of God, I got good grades. I was second at my school. Then I went to high school. And I usually say this. I wrote this down for my graduation. I was like, with no talent whatsoever, with no gift whatsoever, personally, I knew that education was my only hope. I could not play soccer. I could not play any other sports. So I was like, this is it. So I got through high school. I performed very well. I went to Hillcrest High School. And then I decided to go to the University of Zambia. And I was given a scholarship, and I was grateful for that. However, the problem was I wanted to go to medical school. And at the University of Zambia, we have different schools, like a School of Business, School of Natural Sciences. And the School of Natural Sciences had like 1,200 students. And there was only room for 80 students, 80, to go to med school. So if you wanted to go to med school under federal aid, you're supposed to make, you know, you're supposed to compete for 80 spots. So you needed to have like 10 points to make that. So I only had 8. That meant I couldn't really go to medical school. So that became rough, and the only way I would go to medical school was through paying from my pocket. And remember, my mom struggled to take care of us, so that was impossible. So that's when I started talking, you know, the New Seasons Youth Program through a previous student, that's Eric, who introduced me to the program. I spoke with Brother Ray, and it took a while, but I eventually got here, and I was also given a scholarship at Lemoyne in College. And as I said yesterday, coming to the States was new to me. The culture was different. I was like, back home we're more reserved and here people talk a lot. So it was hard getting used to everything. I remember my host mom was Miss Velma Daniel. And so what happened was she tried her very best to, you know, get me out of my shell. You know, she was always talking to me, and I was, oh God, do these people stop talking? So she talked to me. You know Ms. Velma, she talked a lot. Like, so when I came here, it was pretty hard. Like, the culture was extremely different. And I used to stay up in my room all the time. And she was like, Julius, get off a cupboard. Why do you always, you know, lock yourself in that cubicle of yours? And, you know, it was different. Another thing I said was yesterday was the food was also different. I struggled a lot with the food. If the culture was hard, no, the food was worse. And and the funny part was, you know, when you come to a new place, here people are so caring, and everybody wanted me to taste American food. And, you know, I couldn't really tell them that I didn't like it because, hey, some chicken Alfredo, this is the best. Here's some turkey, this and that. And it took a while, but I eventually, you know, adapted to the food and the culture, and that made it a lot easier. But Ms. Velma always used to call me her doctor, and, you know, it's sad that she passed so early, but she was very good to me, and, you know, she did her very best to take care of me. And Mr. Jackson always says the person I am now is different because now I'm no longer in my shell. I should have loved to see that. But anyway, coming to school, I've been a tutor at school since I was a freshman, and I've had the opportunity to help a lot of students, you know, perform exceptionally well. And I've also been privileged or blessed by God to win a lot of awards. I've been on the president's list since my freshman year. Thank you. Yeah, I've managed to win the Division Honors Award. That's in the Department of Math and Science. I won that twice. Thank you. Yeah, so I won Tutor of the Year for two consecutive years. I graduated top of my class. I'm the Ulmono and valedictorian. Thank you. Thank you very much. So what I'm just trying to say is, most of us do have talent. Most of us do have, intellectual ability, but we do not have a lot of opportunities back home. And we, trust me, as I said, in the University of Zambia, we have 1,200 students and about 600 of them competing for 80 spots, and that becomes hard. And some students have to do stuff that they didn't want to. And, that means they won't be, able to enjoy their lives and, fulfill their purpose. So the New Seasons Youth Program gave me the opportunity to come here and do what I want. And thank God for the opportunity, because God has allowed me to perform exceptionally well and help other students also, graduate. And I'm really grateful to Mr. Jackson, the New Seasons Youth Program, the Cross Culture Church, Pastor Walker. I remember Pastor Walker used to come to do his hair at Ms. Velma's place, and we used to have an opportunity to chat with him. So I'm sincerely grateful, and this opportunity not only helps me, but helps my family, because after getting this education, I'll be able to help my mother and help my brother go to school. I'll be able to help my family and help my country at large, because I've got the passion for medicine. I've got a passion for research, and we don't really have the funding for that. As Mr. Jackson says, the country focuses on other issues, the roads to build, the mouths to feed. So nobody has got the money to fund innovation and research, and that's the reason why healthcare back home is lacking. So I have a passion to help the research industry. I would like to build health institutions that will be able to train doctors so that, people don't have to compete for 80 spots. Because we do have the brains, but we just don't have the resources. And I hope by doing that, I'll be able to help the health system in Zambia. So I'm extremely grateful for everyone that has helped me. I won't be able to list everyone, but thank you to the New Seasons Youth Program, the board. Miss Tanya, she's been extremely helpful. Miss Tanya Marshall and the Marshalls, she was my Miss Velma's best friend, and she was always helping me. Miss Estelle has been amazing. She's always feeding us. I came here skinny, now I'm fat. Yeah, so I remember Miss Darren Brown. I don't know if he's here. Yeah, he was amazing. He once helped me one summer. He helped me out financially and gave me a job when I needed one. So I'm sincerely grateful, and I just wanted to share with you that the things that you do help others, and they don't just help me, they help a whole generation and the country at large. So thank you very much.
So I'm the proud parent, so the proud parent have to come up and really tell it. What he didn't tell y'all is that, you remember when Chimwemwe Mwasi went to Boston for the Novartis Harvard Post Baccalaureate program? He got it as well. So he's on his way. And many of you may not know that Chimwemwe is now working towards her PhD in biomedical research. So he's hoping to follow in the same footsteps. So listen, y'all, Michael, well, I'm gonna call you up, but I'm gonna stand by him, because Michael could take up an hour. He has a powerful testimony. He loves to tell it. So Michael. I want you to be brief. He'll get the preaching and shouting and everything, but just be brief, okay? I'm gonna stand by you for real.
Mr. President. I don't even know where to start from, But first things, allow me to thank God, because I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for God's grace and love upon my life. And secondly, allow me to thank Pastor Walker. You know, let me say this actually to Pastor Walker and Elder Francine. We call Mr. Ray as the father of new season. So the kingdom of God is all about expansion, right? So now you are the grandfather of many nations. That being said, also that goes to each one of you. You are brothers, sisters, aunties, and uncles to many nations as well. My story, actually, my story is quite different from everybody. I always tell Pops Ray that new season, actually, I'm the definition of new season, because I lost my mom when I was about 5 years old. And then I got separated away from my real brothers and sisters, and to this very day, and actually I haven't been able to see my sisters since 1998. Until now, I haven't been able to see them. I was taken at the orphanage by 8 years old, so I lived on the orphanage for 13 years. Were things okay? No. But things were not pretty good, but I thank God for the orphanage and the people that started the orphanage, because it gave me the opportunity to go to school. Not only that, I don't think if it was for the orphanage, I would be able to come here to the United States and get this education. So I'm truly grateful. I'm not going to dwell on the bad thing that happened at the orphanage, because I always believe that anything or every challenge that you go through or that you face in life, it's always preparing you for something bigger. It's part of your life. It's a part of your testimony. So, yeah. When I finished high school in 2010, things got really, really, really tough for me, you know. I was told by the orphanage owners, said, hey, Mike, you won't have, I think, 8 months, nine months before, so that you can find a place where to go. I was like, oh, my God. I did say it yesterday that I wanted to commit suicide, because I was just fed up with life. I was fed up with God. I'm like, God, everybody goes to church. I hear people testifying of your goodness, you know, miracles after miracles. My friends are going to school. They're leaving the country. But what's wrong with me? You know, is it I'm paying for the sins of my mother or my father? Please have mercy on me. You know, so I got fed up. So I decided to take my life. But, you know, when God has something bigger on your life that will be able to change lives, trust me, the enemy will fight you. The enemy will fight you to whereby even your closest people that you trust, they'll begin to hate on you, or they'll begin to speak bad things about you. But cross culture, I want you to know that don't lose faith. For me, in all this, I never lost faith. You know, I kept trusting God. I said, if you don't help me, then who will? You know? At the same time, I said, if other people are not willing to help me, then I'll do my best so that I have no excuse that, oh, I never tried enough. So that's what my friend, when I decided to commit suicide, God sent my friend from nowhere. He saved me, said, Michael, don't do it. And then I remember I cried about it. And then my friend actually was like, Mike, I know somebody who went to the USA. His name is Eric. Let me find out how he did it. I'm like, oh, sure. So we contacted Eric on Facebook. To cut the story short, told us about the new season. I applied. I know most of you, you know, you have this, you have the opportunity or the resources of, you know, going to the internet, you know. But for me, I did my application using my phone. You see, I sent him an email using my phone. So I saw the document about the new season using my phone. That's how bad things were. So I, of course, he reached out to me, sent me an email, and I didn't discourage my friend. He's like, man, you know these people you're talking about, these people that make, all these people that are corrupt. You know, they don't care about us, the poor people. They just care about helping the rich people so that, you know, those rich people, they can say, oh, you know, my daughter, she's studying in the USA, or my daughter is abroad, you know. So I don't think they'll even consider us the rich people. My friend was like, no, Mike, let's give it a try. I'm like, no, me, I'm done. So when Dixon actually contacted him, he responded. So when I sent him an email, he responded. I'm like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. So, because I was so desperate looking for answers, I ended up looking for him on Facebook. You know, so when we sent him a friend request on Facebook, I actually got back to me. He said, oh, so I told him, I said, this is Michael, blah, blah. I was like, oh, Mike, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm like, oh, okay, he sounds like a good guy. And that's what I said. we began to talk, and then he said something very, 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 very unique. He said, you know what, Mike, I was like, bro, I really don't know who you are, but I just feel there's something bigger over your life. There's just something special about you. You know, I was like, okay. You know, and actually I told him that, you know what, I've never felt so special by somebody saying you are special, you are unique, you know, because I've always had negative, you know, way that I've been getting from people. So actually, I cried, he'll tell you. When he called me, I was just crying. I couldn't even talk to him on the phone. I was just crying. He prayed for me. He told me that, hey, Mike, you have to take the SATs so that we can kind of like help you get here. I'm like, what are these SATs? You know? Like, thank God for these guys, you know, because them, they're already aware of about the SATs. For me and Dixon, we had no idea what the SATs were, you know? So when he told me to write the SATs, he was like, Mike, do you think you can do it? For me, I was just excited because I was running out of the time to get out from the orphanage. So I was like, yeah. So what are you doing, Mike, for your preparation for the SAT? I'm like, no, I'm just reading a lot of books. I'm reading, you know? So when I went to take my SAT, I didn't study for them because I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the book. So I just went in an exam room, you know, taking these tests with wise people, you know, with all these rich kids. You know, they are bragging, and I'm like, Jesus. But I didn't do well on the SAT. I was mad. I was mad at myself. I was more mad at God because I was telling God, I said, God, this was the only opportunity for me to leave the orphanage. The only opportunity for me to go to school. So I was mad at God. I remember he sent me some money for the transportation. So the money that I had, I said it yesterday, I was so mad at God, but at the same time, there was just something in me telling me that, Michael, so do you think you can do it on your own? I said, if God won't help me, then nobody will. So for me, it was just me and God. I couldn't look left or anywhere else other than God, because everybody else that I kept looking on, they kept disappointing me. Something that you all need to know, being an orphan in Africa is the hardest thing. You just heard from Julius, when he lost his father, you know, the family came and took out all the property. That's just another story. But in Africa, if you're an orphan, it's more like you have this disease that is able to transfer to others. People, so you become like a nobody. You are just a nobody. When I mean completely a nobody, anybody can come and kick you. So that's why I was mad at God. I said, God, I've been living in the orphanage for 13 years. People have been mocking me, they've been saying bad things, and then you made me fail the SAT, the only thing that would give me hope. Why? So I was mad at God, but I did something, because the money that he sent me, I had a change with me. So when I went to church, I was mad, but I gave that money all away. I said, God, I'm giving you a sacrificial offering. This is all I have. This is the only valuable asset I have, so I'm giving it to you. In the end, I want you to help me. So when I gave it away, we spoke. It's like, yo, Michael, we'll try to get you maybe in 2014, you know, try to help you. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I was sad, but I kept praying, and then God gave me the scripture, Luke 18, verse 27, which says, what is impossible with man, with God is possible. So for me, I said, so this is how I used to pray. I said, Lord, for an orphan like me who doesn't have relative, it is very, very impossible for me to go to America. But according to your word, it says, it is possible. So I want you to create a school just for me so that I can go to school. That's how I used to pray. I don't care. I don't have to go to a bigger school with all these names. All I need is for you to create a school just for Michael. And then for sure, I will know that what is impossible with man, with God is possible. So one day he was talking to one of the guys at the orphanage, the guys that I used to keep. You know, it was like, oh, where is Michael? Oh, actually, Michael is singing. Oh, Michael is singing in the team, in the praise team, because I used to sing in the choir. To cut the story short, because I'm not going to go into details. By the way, when I was at the orphanage, I've always wanted to go to school or to live in Texas. That has always been my prayer, and that has always been my dream. So I told God, I said, God, I want you to find me a school in Texas. I was like 8 years old. Now when I finished school, I was like, I want you to find me a school in Texas. So when he told me, he said, hey, Mike, I got some good news for you. I said, what good news for you? He said, we got you a scholarship to go to Lemon Owen College. I was excited, but I was like, anyway, God, my dream hasn't come true, but anyway, since it's America, it's okay with me. Okay, it's okay with me. So I was excited. And then came January. He sent me a text, said, hey, Mike, you know what? You know, Lemon Owen College has decided to take away your scholarship. They said they're going to pay you like 75%. I said, 75%? I don't have those money. So he even told me, like, even the new season, we don't have that money, you know, for us to be paying for you. But, hey, man, let's trust God. One thing I love about him is, like, he'll always tell you, trust God. Let's trust God, you know. So, again, as I said, I'm always mad at God. I'm saying, like, God, why? I was excited that this year I'm going to America. Why, you know? So, I'll be honest with you. I pray a lot and I do fast a lot. So I began to pray and fast and just to trust God. The next thing that I know, remember when I was 8 years old, I said I wanted to go to Texas. I've always wanted to go in Texas. Boom. He sent me a message saying, hey, Mike, you know what? We got you a scholarship. I said, you got me a scholarship where? In Texas. So you see how powerful words can be? All you have to do is dream, dare to dream. And most important, if you're a Christian, which all of us here we are, trust God. No matter what you're going through, always trust God. And God will see you through. So I was given a choir scholarship to go to Texas. I went to Texas. I remember when I came here, the first time actually I spoke, I don't think most of you now can recognize me. I was very shy, of course, because the thing that I went through, but now I'm able to, you know, talk and interact with people. That being said, I just want to thank... Okay, let me first talk about what I've done at school. Okay, let me speed it up. Yeah. So, going at school, when I was in the choir didn't work out for me because that wasn't the place for me. But God gave me, I had a good GPA, great GPA. I was given a presidential scholarship. Now, this little boy, this orphan boy that who stayed at the orphanage, you wouldn't, even me, myself, I don't understand the thing that I've been able to accomplish at school. I've been able to, you know, back to back being on the presidential honors list. Not only that as well, I've been able to, actually, he always shares the stuff on Facebook. I was the outstanding tutor of the year 2017 and 2018. So I'm always trying to inspire other students. You know, I've been the president of NABA for the past 3 years. That's the National Association of Black Accountants. I was also the project manager for an actors team, where I was able to apply for funds. So we did get a grant from Sam's Club, where we are able to, you know, help our veterans in the city of Marshall. That's something that is dear to me, because, you know, if you look around, the veterans, especially the elders, they're kind of like, they're always undermined. They're never really, you know, given that care. That's about my school, but let me thank again the Cross Culture. You know, I never had a mother. Mama Steele, she has been there for me from day one, you know. Not only that, I know Aja is not here, but Brother Ringo is here. You know, it's not easy for your mother to bring other son into the home, and then, you know, just have that relationship. And then, you know, thank you to Brother Ringo. Thank you so much for allowing Mom to share Mama Steele with us. So thank you. Just thank everybody. And then I also want to thank Mrs. Athena, because she back to back, she's the one who gave me my first summer internship. And thank you so much, Mrs. Athena. Thank you so much. That means a lot. Actually, she's an accountant. Also, I graduated with my accounting degree. So she's kind of like just played a very, very big role with me. I've had a chance one-on-one. And just most of you, I mean, I can't thank you enough. The board, Pap Ray, all of you, thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. So we got to wrap this up here. I wanted to have host parents come, the Walkers, but we getting past time, so we got to wrap it up. Huh? Now I wanted one of the host parents to just come down and talk about your experience. The Walkers, come on, Brother Clint. Mama mentioned it. And My mother-in-law, I call her mama. She's not mother-in-law. She's mama. She told me to tell y'all because she was a host parent for Niasha. And she said that, she called me this morning. She said, you better make sure you mention my girl Niasha, who is now working towards her master. But she has a master. She's working towards a PhD. But she said, as a host mother, Niasha brought more to her than she gave to Niasha. Because Niasha and Fabian, he was with me at the time when Dee Dee passed, they were there to support us. They were there to care for us. They saw the tears. They sat there with us as we cried. And, you know, they know the true story, the whole story. So she wanted me to let you know that these, if you're thinking about it or wanting to be a host, she said, look at the worth that's in, there she is, y'all. She back there. She came too. She said, look at the worth of these young people because they are worth it. If you would just open up your homes and give them an opportunity. So I want the Walkers to come because to me, they're the ideal host parents. They make all of us look bad. Their daughter, Muchi Chimwemwe Mwasi, she's now attending Harvard. So I'll let them just share their experience as being host parents.
Good morning, church. We were approached by Brother Ray once he found out our daughter was going to Payne College. He said, I have a student that's going to Payne College. Will you host her? He said, we'll provide for her tuition and her books, but when she comes to your home, she'll rely on you. And you'll take her in and feed her, and basically she'll be like one of your own. He approached me. I said, well, I have to talk to my husband. So I talked to my husband. He said, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. We'll do it. And on my birthday, we got Chim. So Chim came. I call her my gift because she came on my birthday. And she was 16 years old, sweet as all get up. Every time someone met her, they fell in love with her. But I noticed the difference between Chim and my daughter. My daughter, Diamond, is really outgoing and, like Julia says, talk, talk, talk. Chim was very quiet and often spent days in her room, and at first, I called Brother Ray. I was like, is she okay? She's not really coming out of her room. And he told me, he said, listen, that is her culture. They tend to, you know, stay by themselves. And I did notice, too, with Chim that she was very homesick, and would talk to her parents when we were asleep because of the time difference. And so homesick, it made me sad, you know. But I learned to kind of coax her out a little bit, take her around my family, made sure she went to every New Seasons event so she could talk to the people from her country. And over time, we just have grown to love her. We travel, we take Chim with us when we're on vacation, when we're going different places. She is truly our daughter. And we love her. We're so proud of her. She's at Harvard, like he said, getting her PhD, a full ride. Everything has been a full ride. She's helped my daughter as well with her study. She's tutored children and people at Payne as well. And just a beautiful person inside and out. It has been a blessing because our family, I don't know if everyone knows, but we suffered a devastating loss. We lost our son. And right around the time that Chim came is when Diamond was getting ready to go to college, and we were feeling sad, but she really knitted our family back together with her presence and her love for us. And I tell you, if you get the opportunity to be a host family, I tell you to do it without it, because we were like, well, we're going to have to make sure she, you know, has everything that Diamond has. You know, we're going to buy her bedroom stuff and make sure that she's taken care of. We're going to give her, send her money to school, just like we're sending money to Diamond. And, you know, where are we going to get all these finances? And God provided each and every time. Each and every time. So I recommend it. I thank you, Brother Ray, for asking us. It has been an honor and a privilege to host our daughter.
Once again, thank Brother Ray and Cross Culture. And as my wife have said, Candace, it was a blessing. And I guess that's three things I can think of. It was a blessing. It's rewarding. And I guess I'm using this word correctly, but it was fulfilling. A blessing in that, you know, as they have spoken, it was a blessing to those students that received the news that they were going to come over and receive an education. It was also a blessing to us because we were a part of the process. And so, as my wife stated, you know, there were some things that we had to you know, adapt to. But what I learned was, is because of the blessing that they received, and they received it as that, they felt obligated to make sure that they did well. Moochie, or Chim, was, I mean, we didn't have to really do anything per se, because she automatically just, she was a step ahead of us. I mean, we were saying, well, you know, prepare for this. And she's like, I already got that. I already done that. And so that was refreshing, because she knew that she was here for a purpose and for a reason. And she already had her plans in place. I would notice she was writing, and she was always on the phone. And what she was doing was, even as a freshman, she was preparing for her internship. So as she was on the phone, you know, she was researching, and on the computer, she was trying to find her an intern, a place where she could go for the summer, so she just wouldn't be at home idle. So, you know, we said, well, what are you going to do for the summer? She said, oh, I've already got it planned out. And she's somewhere in another state, and USC, you know, another, you know, she's, you know, there for 2 months or whatever. And so as she would do this, I said, well, you know, as every parent would do, I said, okay, well, let's pray that you do well. And so, you know, I would always say a little prayer wherever she would go. But one of the things that I learned in this whole process is it really doesn't matter the school or the resources. It is truly that God will provide. Because she was competing with, you know, students from, you know, Pepperdine. You know, I mean, these top colleges. And she would text us, I won. And so it was truly a blessing. It is rewarding. The second thing is rewarding, because you get to see the process start to, you know, play itself out. You start to see them when they start, and then you start to see them as they progress and how they would you know, adapt to being over here in another country, new family. And so you start to see that process. And then I guess we'd say fulfilling, in that they have fulfilled some of their dreams. They are able to see the things that were they dreamed about, they wanted to accomplish. And then all of a sudden they would, you know, start to see that come to, you know, manifest itself. And then as a family, as my wife has said, we became a part, well, she became a part of our family, and we accepted her as our family. But not only that, it was her parents. We actually gained family members. And so, you know, it was like we were, you know, starting to learn about her culture. She would explain to us things. And so it, I guess you could say, it was truly a blessing, rewarding, and it's fulfilling, and it changes not only their lives, but it changed our lives. Because, you know, now, you know, you can truly say God does provide because you see it. It happens right in front of you. Because when my Chim went to Payne College, and I'll just, you know, wrap it up and leave it there. She went to Payne College. Resources were very limited. They didn't have all of the, you know, all of the fancy things that other schools would have. And I asked her, I said, Chim, so how do you prepare? She said, all my teachers are great. They give me the books to read and everything. And I said, well, do you have the, you know, computers and all of the technology to work on? She said, no. She said, but I just pray about it. And when I go, you know, everything starts to come together. The things I read, the things that the teachers told me, I prepare, and it starts to come together, and I remember it, and it happens. And so God provides. So no matter the resources that you may not have, no matter what you may not see, God provides. And so that's what we've gained. And so thank you. Thank you.
And I just want to say one more thing on the behalf of my daughter who isn't here. She believes and loves everything about Chim, and they have become sisters. They really have. And Chim is always encouraging her to follow her future. My daughter has gone on. She wants to be a part of the GBI. She's applied there, and we're just trusting God to make that happen for her. So just continue to pray for her and pray for Chim as she goes on to get her PhD as well.
Sister Stale, if you'll start making your way up. Sister Stale, if you'll come up. Come. She's going to talk about 316, and we're going to be at your way. But I want to thank you so much for just taking the time to listen to us. Again, we wanted you to see faith in action, love in action, work in action. This is what New Seasons is all about. It was birthed out of this house. By me sitting up under this ministry. But this is what this program is all about. We don't just impact these kids' lives. We impact nations, neighborhoods of these kids, the young people here. So I'm telling you, keep us lifted in your prayers. We need your financial support. We need your financial support. We need your financial support and your homes. So Sister Stale is going to briefly share about Team 316, and then we're going to be out of the way.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I must say, my dream coming up was to have a house full of sons. Never cared for daughters. I just wanted boys. And I wanted to have at least six sons. And now look at all the sons that I have. And I get on them just like the sons that I gave birth to. They know I get on them all the time. 316 is something that we have started. And 316 means giving a pledge of $3.16 a week towards New Seasons. It can be done on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, annual basis, whatever, you know, is best for you. We'll, next Sunday, we'll have a table with permission of Pastor, would it be all right to have a table for you to sign up for the 316 pledges to give. It equals to $164 a year or $12 a month, whatever is comfortable for you. But if we get at least 20 people to sign up, that alone would come to $5,000. And we need the money to help for transportation, to get the young kids over here. I thank all of the members that have been contributing, because our next event, we have a Welcome to America. When the kids come over here, they have absolutely nothing. And I thank all of those for the past years that when we have our Welcome to America event, we're asking for toiletries, bed linen, school supplies, So the funds from the 316, this is where the money would be going towards. It doesn't take a lot for those that want to give more. Like if you want to give $316, that would be fine also. But every little bit counts, and I want to thank each and every one of you for the past 10 years that have been given. It is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
So with that, can you put up on the screen real quickly, 1 Timothy 6:17 and 19. And this is my charge to you, the believer. First Timothy 6:17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Next. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Next. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I'm going to leave that with you. I'm going to just leave that there because it speaks for itself. Let's be about the work of the Lord, whatever God has placed in you to do. You do it. And just trust and know and believe God that those individuals who have the same heart, and He will position individuals to come by your side to help you fulfill that calling that He has placed within you. Thank you for your time.